Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 26th day of January, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Yeah, you had missed the Anno Domini the last couple of weeks, and I wondered if we were going to move into the common era now.
No, never. Never. No. Recognizing sketchy emails designed to steal your password to trick you into installing malware may be the most important cybersecurity skill one can learn. People fall for phishing emails every day. In fact, phishing was involved in 70% of breaches last year, according to the Verizon Data Breach Investigation Report. And despite awareness-spreading efforts, phishing still works. Almost 11% of people who receive a phishing email fall for it, according to internet security company Cofense. Alphabet subsidiary Jigsaw, though, just launched a quiz that hopes to teach people how to spot phishing emails. The quiz has 8 examples of potential malicious emails, all inspired by real phishing emails Google has seen in the wild. Alphabet, of course, being Google's parent company. There's even an example inspired by the emails that tricked Hillary Clinton's campaign manager and veteran Republican politician Colin Powell to give their passwords to Russian hackers. This quiz is a very good opportunity to learn to be more wary and vigilant. And each response in the quiz, it explains what signs you should have looked at to figure out if the email was legitimate or malicious. And kudos to Jigsaw for including an example inspired by a Google snafu, where the company sent out a confusing Gmail security alert that looked like a phishing attempt, as well as a massive Google Doc phishing worm that hit around 1 million users.
But was a real doc.
Right, it was a real doc. And Steve can put the link up on the website, so you can go there yourself. It's also in the forum thing, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google has made a phishing quiz. And your choices are, I did great, I did okay, I did poorly, and I'm too lazy to take it. Not shockingly, I'm too lazy to take it has over half the votes so far. Followed by, I did great, I'm glad to see. I did okay, got fewer votes. I did poorly, got 1 vote. Now, so far, 20 of you have done that. And, of course, you might have more to say. And if you scroll down on the right, under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And currently, at least, the number one item in the poll discussion is 26 Jan 19. Google has made a phishing quiz, and in that poll, you'll also see the link, but Steve is, in fact, putting that link up even as we speak. And once you've said something in there, you can join us online. It's pretty easy. Just give us a call. Call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
I've read stories about IT people who have sent out their own phishing tests inside their company. About, you know, win a free prize, or, you know, get a coupon. You know, give me all your information. Give me your company passwords. And we'll get irate letters from people or phone calls from people that want their coupon. I'm sorry, ma'am. You failed the phishing test. You gave personal information, company information that you shouldn't have given out. But I want the coupon. There is no coupon. It was a test, and you failed. You're going to have to go for more training. But I want the coupon.
Right. Right. And, of course, you know, it's phishing attempts are getting more and more sophisticated. But you don't even need phishing tests. All you need are a few Facebook quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these Facebook quizzes, which Greek god am I? Which
elf name?
Elf, what's my elf, et cetera, et cetera. By the time you've taken a half a dozen of those, you've given them your first name, your middle name, your last name, your date of birth, the town you live. I mean, by the time you're done with those quizzes, you've given them all the information they need to steal your identity 50 times over. So you want to be a little careful. And I know people who seem, it seems it's their job to take those tests. I see post after post after post after post of those things. People, the whole point of those things is to gather your personal information. I'm sorry, I know how desperately important it is for you to know what your elf name is and which Greek god you are, but lie.
If you don't know what Greek god you are, a quiz isn't going to tell you.
That's exactly right. You think? Unless you're Hancock, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, absolutely. So be very careful who you give what information to. Even those cute little fun polls on Facebook are really there solely to gather your information. We saw the 10-year challenge.
Yep.
Is really just a way to help the aging, facial aging software work better. And they admitted it. So you want to be careful of how much of that stuff you give out. I never answer those. I already know which Greek god I am. Thank you very much. But you want to be very careful with that. And the same is true of the phishing stuff. You know, nobody falls for the Nigerian prince anymore. But everybody still seems to fall for the, we've detected a virus on your machine. This is Microsoft. Give us a call. It's not Microsoft. To be utterly blunt about it, Microsoft doesn't care. They're not going to text you. They're not going to email you. They're not going to put a warning up on your machine. Unless you hear about it here first, it's a fake warning. Don't fall for it. And be very, very careful. I can't emphasize enough that I've seen so many people fall for these things. Oh, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Did you call Microsoft? Well, yeah, they told me to. No, then you did something.
Mm-hmm.
That's you, or, and worse is I have a friend who's an Apple owner. He calls mm-hmm. me up and he says, I got this call from Microsoft. I said, do you use any Microsoft products? No, but they said there's a virus on my machine. Microsoft said there's a virus on your Mac. You don't use any Microsoft stuff. How did they find out? Oh, I don't know, but they want me to call. Don't call.
Yep.
It's a
we had, and just for turnabout, we had a customer come in with his Windows PC who said that Apple called him and said there was a virus.
There you go. Well, at least you went to the right kind of store.
Yeah.
but the
other big thing, too, though, that people just have to wake up to the fact, no way, no how is any agency going to tell you to go out and get gift cards yep. to make payment.
And we see that all the time, and people fall for it.
Yeah, they got to go to the Target store and get a bunch of gift cards there. Hello, they don't want gift cards; and they want money. If it's a real organization,
right? But the way they rationalize it is this way: I don't have to give them my credit card number.
Yeah,
because that might get stolen.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're approaching tax season now, so there's going to be more and more fake IRS scams coming out. The mm-hmm. IRS will never call you. The IRS does not want gift cards to pay your tax bill.
Yeah, they really don't. They really, really don't. Mm-mm. If you get a call from the IRS, if you get a message on your screen from the IRS, ignore it. Just ignore it.
Delete it.
Right. Right. The reality is that they aren't going to call you. They don't want gift cards. They don't want your. They want your money, but they want it in a slightly different manner.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, they're going to get it. They don't need to call you or any of that stuff. If you get a call from the IRS, politely ask for the person's name, and then hang up and call. Look in your phone book or online and call the real number in town and talk to somebody real.
Yeah.
And ask if they called you.
And a Google phishing quiz, they're not all phishing.
Right, right, right.
I would have almost guessed they would have all been fishing, because here's how really good phishing attacks are.
Right. No, no, it's not a quiz if the answer is always it's a phishing attack. But yeah, so check out that phishing link and take the quiz and get yourself a little bit educated on the way phishing works. It always looks legit. It always looks, W.C. Fields said you can't fool an honest man. Actually, a lot of people have said that. You can't fool an honest man. And if it looks too good to be true, if it's money for nothing, then it's probably not real. If it's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. So be very careful about that and be very aware and very wary of what it is that you're answering. And they're just getting worse and worse and worse. You know, we are all quite aware of the Nigerian prince scams. But these other scams, and a lot of them are pretty sneaky. There are phone numbers that you can call, it's a one something, 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 right? And so, but that is actually an overseas number. And mm-hmm. it charges you per minute.
Like Guam or the U.S. Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico.
Right.
Those are really, really long-distance calls, but they're normal U.S. area codes because they're normal U.S.
territories.
Territories, yeah.
Right, right. And so they look legit.
Yeah.
But they're actually toll numbers, and that money goes to those people. And at that point, they don't even have to trick you into giving them anything. They just have to keep you on the line. So you call, and you get the please hold, mm-hmm. and there's a minute gone while you listen to the music, and then somebody comes on and talks to you for a few seconds and says, please hold while I transfer you. And that's another minute that you're paying for, and they talk to you for a while and transfer you to somebody else.
And
they'll do that until you hang up, and they're getting money every minute you're on the line.
Or they'll talk really slow.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. I have to look that up.
Yeah.
They go off.
Right.
And then come back.
Hold on, please. My computer is a little slow today. Yeah. I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah. How's the weather over there? You know, anything
right.
Sounding friendly.
Right.
And, you know, and keep you going and keep you on the line. They know all the tactics.
The reality is that you need to be a lot more cynical. You are not paranoid enough when it comes to this stuff.
And for people that are generally honest and generally wouldn't think of stealing money, you have to change your mindset. Everyone else is probably trying to steal your money.
Well, not everyone else, but certainly those people who are calling you like that. If you get a call or a screen that says call this number or that sort of thing, be aware immediately that you should think they're trying to steal your money. And you need to be a lot more aware and a lot more careful and a lot more wary of the things that are there. So pay attention to those sorts of things. Don't even call. Don't even call and try to be cute with them, because if it turns out to be one of those Guam-type numbers, you're paying them, and they'll listen to you be cute to them all day long. Yeah. They don't mind.
Oh, yep. They'd love it.
Well, and one of the recent ones now is they'll spoof the caller ID, so it looks like it's at least your area code, but often it's your own telephone exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do that just by grabbing a random phone number. And we've seen issues where, coincidentally, that is someone's real phone number.
Right.
And then, it's a phishing scam, and we're getting, people are telling us they're getting phone calls from people being angry that they got called with a phishing scam. Well, it came from this number. No, it didn't. It was a spoofed phone number. They use a real number to make it more likely you'll pick up.
Make it look like it.
Right, right. I can't tell you how few calls I answer anymore. One of the nice things is that Google's, at least in the Pixels, Google has a feature that will automatically block known scammers.
Right.
And so I don't even get those calls anymore. So I get a lot fewer calls than I used to. A lot fewer calls than I used to. But even the ones that come in, if I don't know the number, it goes to voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't have, there are people who cannot let a phone ring.
Yep.
They just cannot. They have to answer it. I couldn't care less.
Yep.
Unless if it's my daughter or my wife and a couple of other people.
That number comes up and it's not my contact list. Yeah, you can go to voicemail.
That generation is aging out. When I was a kid, we had one phone. It was in the kitchen. It had a 30-foot cord on it.
Yes, it did.
And when it rang, you answered it and had no idea who might be calling you.
That's right. And you just picked it up and said hello.
Yep.
Oh, and the other thing is, if you do get one of these calls, never say the word yes.
Correct.
Because they are recording everything, and what they'll do is they'll edit it later to say, may we charge your credit card for this service we're providing, and they'll splice in you saying yes. So never say yes. Yeah. So if they say, is this Nick Francesco, I would say, if I answered them, I would say, this is he. Can you hear me all right? I can hear you fine, thank you. That sort of thing. Never say yes.
They've sat there and tried calling me, and I'll sit there and say, who's this calling? Why do you need to know?
You called me. You should know.
Yeah.
Oh, I get Porky. How did you get my private number?
I still like the one.
Let him answer that one.
No, I still like the one that you did that one time.
L.A. Coroner's Office.
No, when you said they were offering you a credit card.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I could have one here in jail?
Yeah. They don't let me have credit cards. This is great. Yeah, that was it. For a while, I was going to Google Translate at translate.google.com. Dorothy Parker used to answer the phone, what fresh hell is this?
Because nothing's worse than stale hell.
Right, exactly. So I would then, I had that up on my phone one time and somebody called and so I translated into Esperanto and another time I translated into Latin and my Latin is better than my Esperanto. I'll just say that right away. So when somebody calls you and you answer the phone with, quis novus hic inferni, there's dead silence on the other end of the line.
I read one where they someone spoke a couple of no hablo español,
right?
You say so then they get you the Spanish operator, and then you say sprechen Sie Deutsch, and then they get you the German operator. So you see how many you can get through.
Yeah, right.
Well, it worked. I had a couple that'll call me, and I know it's a skip, so I swipe it up and I go Jazz 90.1.
Yeah.
Right.
Click.
Well, yes. And I often answer with, thanks for calling Soundbite. You're on the air. What's your question?
Yeah. Do that and then boop.
Boop. Immediate hang up.
Yeah.
Immediate hang up. Or if they actually say, may I speak to so-and-so or whatever they want to say, I will say, you're on the air. Do you have a computer question?
There you go.
Yep.
You're on the air. Click. That's right.
Gotcha.
Any of you out there, by the way, you're perfectly welcome to use that. They don't know you're not on Soundbites.
Yeah.
They don't know it's only on Saturdays from noon to 2 on Jazz 90.1, and they don't know that they aren't on the air.
I had a friend do that once. You're the 25th caller. You've won this and this, and tricked the guy. And got all of their information.
Oh, nice.
They forgot they were a call center. Oh, my God, I won the prize.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's better yet.
Wonderful.
That is. That you can reverse it.
That's very nice. But really, don't, if you don't know the number, let it go to, everybody's got voicemail nowadays.
Yeah.
Let it go to voicemail and then go listen. And if it turns out to be Microsoft or Apple or somebody else like that calling you, just ignore it. It is not true.
Yeah, I got another one. What was it? I think it was last week or the week before. Of course, I let it go to the answer machine. And I was playing it, and it says, the cops will be there for you.
Yes.
There is a warrant out for your arrest. The cops.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Anybody professional would not say the cops are coming
and
for you.
When was the last time the police would call you and warn you they were going to come and arrest you?
Hi, this is the police. We'd like to make an appointment for 2:30 today. Yeah.
Or want a Walmart gift card to not arrest you.
Yeah. Yes. We see my other favorite one was I got one of those calls the other day, and it said, no, I got an email that said we have recorded you masturbating to pornography.
Ooh.
On your computer. And unless you sent, yes, unless oh. you sent.
But I pay for all my pornography.
For about 100 reasons, I'm pretty sure they didn't. But the point is that they then said you need to, if you don't give us money, we want a half a Bitcoin or whatever it was, and if you don't give us that, we will release this to your family. I said, if you actually had that kind of information. First, I don't know where you'd get it, so go ahead and release it.
Yeah.
I don't know who you think I am, but that ain't me. But, so that one, and I just, how many people out there have watched porn on their computer? That's going to catch, honestly, more people, I think, than the IRS scam.
Yeah, true.
I truly believe that. I actually applauded that one.
Yeah,
That was
give
a good one.
Give him a 9 for originality.
That's exactly right. That actually amused me pretty much. I was very impressed by that one. That was new to me. I hadn't seen that one or anyone like it before. And that was straight out extortion.
Yeah,
I'm Italian. I know extortion when I see it. That was just straight out extortion. Send me money or we'll send your wife these, or your family. They said your family. These, because they don't know me. They don't know if I'm married or I have kids or just my parents or how old I am. They don't know anything about me. So family is a good generic word there. We'll send this to your family. So unless you're an orphan living by yourself somewhere, there's family somewhere of some sort.
And there's been a lot of longstanding telephone scams that are now moving into the internet. Your friend sends you an urgent email that they're stuck at Heathrow Airport and they got mugged and lost their passport and their tickets. And can you please wire me money to come home? Or the we've kidnapped your grandson and we want $5,000 in Walmart gift cards.
Right.
Call your grandson. That unfortunately personally happened to us. Someone came into the store trying to sell the gift cards back because stores don't return gift cards because they're so easy to steal the money off of them. The bad guys just want the number off the back of it, and then the money's gone from the card.
Right.
They don't need the physical card. And so he bought – I'm trying to – where would you find $5,000 worth of iTunes cards? I mean, he must have gone to a bunch of stores to accumulate that much. But then he decided to call his grandson.
Well, yeah, after Graham, he bought the cards.
Yeah, after he bought the cards. Yeah, I'm fine, Grams. What's going on?
One listener just texted, I had a similar situation with the porn thing, and they actually had some passwords of mine from other legit sites.
Yep.
And I've never been to the porn sites, so that creeped me out. So I went and changed every password I ever used and every site I used it on.
Good. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. If someone's got one of your passwords, in fact, everybody should be changing their passwords right now because another 700 million of them, like we said last week, got taken. Change your passwords. Don't fall for the scams. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800. Excuse me, 1-800-790-0415. Wow. Mac people, pay attention. Researchers have uncovered a recent malicious advertisement campaign that's notable for its size, scope, and resourcefulness. A two-day blitz triggered as many as 5 million times per day that used highly camouflaged JavaScript stashed in images to install a Trojan on visitors' Macintoshes. That's right, Macintoshes. The ads were served by a group that security firm Confiant has dubbed VeryMal, a run that was active from January 11th to January 13th on about 25 of the top 100 publisher sites, triggered the image as many as 5 million times a day in an attempt to bypass increasingly effective measures available to detect malicious ads. The images used steganography. I know the word. I just, my mouth is not working.
New mouth.
It's what a stegosaurus.
I brush my teeth. I can't do a thing with it.
It's what a stegosaurus uses.
It's the kind of stegosaurus. Stegosauri?
Yeah.
Stegosauruses?
Stegosauruses?
Stegosauria? Steganography, the ancient practice of hiding code messages or other data inside images or text to deliver its malicious payload to Mac-using visitors. As malvertising detection continues to mature, they're calling it malvertising.
Yep.
Continues to mature, sophisticated attackers are starting to learn that obvious methods of obfuscation are no longer getting the job done. The output of common JavaScript obfuscators is a very particular type of gibberish that can easily be recognized by the naked eye. Techniques like steganography are useful for smuggling payloads without relying on hex-encoded strings or bulky lookup tables. The image looked unremarkable using some clever HTML5 programming under the hood, however, it delivered malicious code to unsuspecting Mac users. VeryMal creates a canvas object which developers use to render or enhance graphics. If the computer had Mac-specific fonts installed, hint, they all do, the object. Yeah, so Windows machines, oddly, were not susceptible
to this. But a lot of Macs have Windows fonts installed, so they can communicate better with Windows users.
Right. But this is Mac-specific fonts. The object would then loop through the underlying data in the image file and convert an individual pixel in each loop into an alphanumeric character. With that, the malvertisers had snuck code in that they needed to redirect Mac users to a website that served display ads that falsely claimed the visitor's Flash player was out of date. What? Flash player again? Yes. Visitors who took the bait were then infected with Schlayer, a Mac Trojan that came to light 11 months ago and is used to install adware. This month's campaign is by no means the first time VeryMal has struck. A similar campaign in December targeted Macs and iOS devices. Malvertisers continue to improve their techniques for slipping malicious content past advertisers who spend time and money to detect bad ads. Fortunately, for the moment at least, most malicious ads seem to work by tricking visitors into clicking OK buttons that will install malware. People who want to protect themselves should remain suspicious of any warning that displays while a web advertisement is loaded. They should also ensure browsers and OSs are current and download updates only from official sources. So have you done a Flash update lately? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Everyone should just uninstall Flash.
Get rid of Flash.
Yeah.
Very unlikely you actually need it anymore because most websites have moved beyond it.
Well, there are still a bunch of games on Facebook Flash-based.
Yeah, and I had one site I was at. And they wanted me to install Adobe Flash. Yep. And I go, yeah, no.
Yeah, right.
To find that game somewhere else.
Forget it. Yeah, no. Well, if you want to do this, yeah, no.
Right. Google Chrome, certainly certainly even in Chromebooks, has a Flash-like player that doesn't have some of the things that get triggered. But it will play most Flash games. If you're playing those games, you probably need Flash.
But other than that,
you do not. Get rid of it.
Yeah, uninstall it and then see if you need it again later and then decide if you really need to play that game or find a similar game that doesn't need Flash.
Right.
Yeah.
More and more games are using HTML5 now, so you don't need Flash. So if you don't need Flash and you get rid of Flash and then you get a warning that says you should update Flash, laugh and move on. You don't have it.
You know it's fake. They're probably fake when you get them anyway, but if you don't have Flash, you know it's fake.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's much more, it's at this point, I would tend to think the security of all of your information and data and your identity are more important than a game. That's your choice to make.
As I launch the game.
As he launches the game,
I got to put my people back to work.
But yeah, so be very careful, be very wary. Just one more thing to be aware of, you know, we've said this time and time again, people relax on the internet because they're in their own home. They're in a very safe and familiar environment. They're on their own hardware. And so they extend that sense of safety and that lack of wariness to the places that they're going to. And you really can't.
Yep.
You want to be very, very careful. And I can't tell you the number of times people say, but I didn't go to a bad place. Well, that's right. You probably didn't go to a bad place because they don't put those ads in the bad places.
Yeah.
Because more people go to the good places. So that's where they want to put those ads.
Yeah. So now it's just ads on a website, legitimate websites.
Right.
You don't have to go down the dark alleys with the $20 bills hanging out of your pocket.
Right. Right. Conversely, I've been toying with writing a book on the dark web. And so I've been wandering around it for a while.
Yeah.
No ads.
Yeah.
Dark web, no ads.
No ads.
Because they know the people who are on the dark web aren't going to be fooled by those ads.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, seriously?
There's also an interesting phenomenon that in the advertising world, iPhone clicks pay more than Android clicks.
Right.
So the malvertisers are hiding their clicks as iOS.
Right.
So even if you're on Android and click on a malicious ad, it will get credited as an iOS click.
Right.
So the malvertiser can steal more money from the advertiser.
Right. And the point behind that, of course, is that iOS people are more likely to pay money for things than Android people. The perception, and don't call me and tell me you're not rich. The perception is that Apple people are richer because they will spend more money. They buy more expensive computers. They do a lot of in-app purchasing more than Android people. So whether it's true or not, the perception out there is that Apple people have more money, spend more money, and so those are the people they're starting to go after. That's the whole point behind this malware thing we just talked about. An iOS ad click gets more money than an Android click. So all of my iOS friends go to...
Yeah.
Ask Nick and click on something. So you're not allowed to say that. I know, Google. I'm joking.
Yeah. But the so the old story is that for a developer who wants to write a program, if you want to make money, write it for iOS.
Right.
If you want to have counts of the number of people using it, write it for Android.
Right.
More people use Android, but you make more money on iOS.
Right. It's close to evening out because you get less money for the clicks in Android, but you get more clicks.
Right.
So it's a little closer, but not. It's still iOS.
Well, then there's the whole royalty. That's not royalty. What do they call it? Apple and Google both take a cut of your sales.
Right.
Commission.
Commission.
As for running the store behind it, so you don't have to run your own store. So there's a lot of advantages to having that store run for you. But Fortnite, you know, massively popular game, is making hundreds of million, literally hundreds of millions of dollars a month.
Yep.
Apple's taking 30% on the iPhone for a free game. All the money comes from in-app purchases.
Right.
So when they came out with an Android version, they didn't want to pay Google the cut. So they gave instructions on how to sideload. So on an Android phone, you can turn off all the safety and install a program from anywhere.
Right.
So the makers of Fortnite released these instructions on how to turn off the safety, sideload Fortnite, so you could play Fortnite. Within hours, there were hundreds of fake Fortnite installers.
Hours, yeah.
Here's how you sideload and load Fortnite. And it wasn't Fortnite. It was malicious software. Just because they didn't want to give Google the 30% cut.
Right. Which they were already giving to Apple, but that's because you can't sideload on Apple.
Right.
Right. All right, to the phone.
So now they have 30% of nothing.
Right, right. So, and well, people no, are mad at yeah, them because have, of yeah, all the fakes.
Yeah, they have 100% of nothing rather than 30% of something.
Right. to the phones. Our first caller is Al from Rochester, New York. Hi, Al. How are you?
Hey, top of the morning or good afternoon to you.
And the rest of the day to yourself.
Hey. So, I hate to do this to you guys, but I've got a puzzle.
Uh-oh.
And I'm hoping if you don't have an answer, one of your other listeners might chime in or something. I've run into an unusual situation.
Go ahead.
I'm one of those belt suspenders and a parachute type of guys.
Sure.
I have five backups of everything. However, I found the one thing that can go wrong and still put me on my knees. It appears, from what I've been told and what I can sort of see, is that I have two hard drives, and the Windows is on one hard drive, but the boot partition for Windows is on the other hard drive. And because they've gotten separate, and so that's only been the case for a while, and everything's been running fine, but now one of the drives has died. And my full image backups picked up all of the C partition, but because the boot record is on a different drive, it didn't pick that up.
Right, right, right.
So I'm about to do some, you know, do this one time and you can't ever go back from it type surgery. But I thought I'd just throw it out there and say, has anyone run into this and anyone have a tested, workable answer to this before I go into uncharted territory?
Yeah.
It's kind of the difference between a full backup and backing up your data. If you back up all of your drives, it makes restoring easier because you can restore all of your drives. But it takes more drives and often more time to do that. If you back up your data, then you've got your data. But if there's a problem, then you need to repartition, reinstall Windows, reinstall your apps, then reinstall your data. So you can the choice usually becomes a fast backup or a fast restore.
Right. Well, this is a full image. I've always been doing full image backups. I know you guys aren't big fans of it, but
this is why. But you can certainly, from an original installation DVD or your recovery USB, you can put the MBR, the master boot record, onto a Windows 10 machine. But I don't know how you put it on a different drive and point it to a different drive.
Isn't the master boot record always on the C drive?
Yeah, that's what I always thought.
Well, yes, and it boots to that drive. But what can happen in the master boot record is it says, but your image, remember, the master boot record only does a certain amount of stuff and then hands everything over to Windows.
And it's got the pointers. It's literally pointers. So, yeah, you could have it just like if you've got a dual boot on a system. Yeah, you could have, say, Linux on the C partition, but your Windows could be over on the D drive.
Right.
And so the master boot record is pointing to it.
Right. So I don't. What I don't know off the top of my head is tell it. There's a command called bootrec.
Yeah, I just found that tech note.
But I don't know what the command line parameters are for that. Excuse me.
Fix MBR, fix boot, scan OS. Maybe that would scan and tell you where the OS is going, and then rebuild boot record.
Yeah, you can rebuild. See, you can rebuild the boot record. That's fine. But if it doesn't find it,
yeah, it's got to know where to look for it.
Man, that's tough. You can rebuild. Oh man, I don't. I'm sorry, Al. I do not know how you do that. You can certainly write bootrec/scanOS will look for Windows, but I do not know if it looks for it on multiple drives. Right. So if you replaced your second drive, I'm assuming the drive with the MBR on it is the dead one and Windows still lives on the other one.
I believe so.
Yeah. So what it kind of has to be. If you can't boot, then that's where the problem is. So you could replace the master boot record. You put a second new drive in, right? And you put the master boot record on that. And then you run bootrec/scanOS. And I believe it's capital S-C-A-N, capital O-S, although I don't know if that's necessary on Windows. You run /scanos. But I don't know if it will scan multiple drives. If they're smart, they will. And if it does, then you're good to go. I mean, you can then say /rebuild and whatever, BCD, rebuild BCD, and then fix boot and whatever it is you have to do. But it certainly can't hurt to try it. The only other thing you can do is to rebuild Windows on the new drive completely and then move your data or point to the data on the other drive or whatever, you know, whatever you want to do with that. But
yeah, that's the nuclear option.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it couldn't hurt to try. If you're going to buy a new hard drive anyway, right?
I'm sorry?
You're going to buy a new hard drive anyway?
Oh, yeah. New hard drives aren't an issue.
Right. So buy the new hard drive, put the master boot record on that, make it bootable, right? And then say, you know, run the boot manager and tell it to see if it can find that drive.
That's, are you getting a boot manager's missing error?
No, it gets to the, just finishes the BIOS messages and then just goes to a blinking cursor.
Yep. Can't find the boot drive. And well, here's a question. If have you gone into the BIOS and changed the boot drive? It may be that the other drive is actually bootable. You're just not booting from it.
I haven't done that specifically. I have swapped the SATA cables, so they're a different sequence.
No, that would do it.
Well, that doesn't necessarily. Maybe.
But I'll try the BIOS method, certainly.
Yeah, if they're
well, if he switched SATA to SATA
drives.
Yeah, the SATA drive. Well, so if he switched to SATA drive, you're putting A and B.
It depends if the BIOS is looking by name or by position.
Right. If the BIOS is looking for by name, then that won't matter. So it couldn't hurt to go into the BIOS and see if you can change it there.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
That's right. And that's the easiest fix of all if it works.
Sure. And obviously, my biggest concern is I'm not worried about losing data. Data is stored elsewhere.
Right.
My two issues is all the licensing information.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that Adobe isn't going to want to sell me another CS6 license.
Right. Well, that's the truth.
We've even had trouble with Office 2011 that a lot of our customers are still using. It's not longer supported anymore. And the activation servers don't work.
Right.
So if you have Office 2011, do not get a new computer.
Right.
Because you can't activate it on a new computer.
Right. Now, do you still have the restore image?
Do I still have a full backup image? Oh, yeah.
Well, but if the backup image is across two drives, well, still, if he puts a new drive in and then does the restore, maybe that'll fix it.
That's what one of the listeners say. Why can't the guy just do a clean install and restore the image? The boot record should be there.
Theoretically, can't hurt to try it.
In the original backup. Because it's got to record where to find the files.
Right.
Okay. I hadn't thought of it. I mean, I did try and do a restore from the supposed C partition, but that drive.
Yeah, but right. If the drive's dead, that's not going to help.
No. New drive. But I restored the C image back to that drive, but it didn't include the boot record. The boot record was hopefully attached to a different backup file.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
Except no, but see, my problem is that I believe when you do an image of a drive or a partition, it specifically looks for the partition and the boot record.
Right.
And if I do a image of the second drive, which contained, let's call it drive, I've just told it back up the partition. It has never been told to, oh, by the way, there might be a boot record on this drive. Back up.
Yeah. I see that.
Well, I will continue to experiment. Like I say, my losing the licensing is expensive and painful. Three weeks or longer is going to take me to rebuild everything.
Right. No, I get it.
Real expensive.
Yeah, I do. I get it. I absolutely get it.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
I've done that.
I'm so sorry. I just, you can try the things we talked about, but it can't hurt to try them.
Sure. And I would say, I'd throw this in. This is a reinforcement to something you all have said, is that it's great to do backups, but unless you test them.
Right.
Make sure they work.
They work.
Yep.
I used to, but that was a couple of years ago, and I haven't done it recently.
Yeah, we get complacent, and that's when the trap snaps shut.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the advice and consolation. So.
All right, good luck. Thanks.
Good luck, Al.
Take care.
And he'd mentioned about we don't necessarily like image files. It's not that we don't like them. It's often that image files take the longest to do.
Right.
Unless you have a program that can do incremental images, so it doesn't have to re-image the whole drive.
And all it takes is one hiccup.
Yep.
And doing it.
Yep.
And boom.
So in addition to having different backup devices, maybe use different backup methods. Just
right.
In case one method doesn't work, use another method.
Well, that's one of the things that I do, and I've talked about this before. I use Linux, so I don't have licensing issues. So that's not a problem. But there are a bunch of ways to back things up in Linux. I can just do a copy, like a copy or an X copy or whatever you used to in Windows. I can also FTP to another drive somewhere off in the distance somewhere. I can also, take essentially a snapshot of all of the programs on my computer.
Yep.
So when I build a new computer, I can go say, see that snapshot I took? Load all of those. So it'll go out one at a time, download them from my repository, and rebuild my drive that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do that and then put back all my... So I only back up my data and that list. So I can then, if I ever have to put a new hard drive in, I just install a version of my version of Linux. I then go say, see that list, load all of that software, and then load all of my data. But I realized that particularly for somebody like Al, who's got licensing issues and things like that, losing that hard drive means losing those licenses if they're not properly backed up.
Yeah.
And
Microsoft and Adobe are real sticklers, I guess, about where they put their license files and where they have to go back when you restore your drive.
Yeah, exactly.
And
all right.
The fact that you got a new hard drive might say, this is a different computer, we won't use that license again.
Yeah, that's true. All right, that music tells me you've wasted an hour of your life, but you're going to get a chance to do it again. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful to You that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour, you are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right.
Hello.
You're listening to Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll get to the phones in a minute, but in the meantime, I will quickly read one more interesting news story. It's always useful to be able to see speed limits at a glance when you're driving, especially when you're using unfamiliar roads. It's even better when you get a warning for upcoming speed traps. Now Google Maps can provide you with both. Users across the U.S., the U.K., and other countries are discovering that the world's biggest navigation app just got two big features that were sorely missed. Speed limits are displayed in the bottom corner of the app while you're driving, while pop-ups and audible warnings will notify you when you're approaching a speed trap. You will also see camera icons along your route that show speed trap locations. It's pretty surprising it took so long for Google to bring these features to Maps, especially when you consider that they were a staple of Waze, the navigation app Google acquired for around $1 billion way back in 2013. The update means that those who still relied on a dedicated satellite navigation system for speed limits and trap warnings can finally switch to using their smartphone instead. So are you ready for Google to warn you of speed traps? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
One of the arguments has always been that the police don't want the mapping companies to publicize speed traps, but the public wants them. And what's interesting is there have been some police departments that have put up a cardboard cutout of a patrol officer yep. with a radar gun, and people slow down.
Yep.
So telling everyone there's a speed trap will make them slow down, even if there isn't one.
Yep.
Until we get used to ignoring it because there wasn't one.
Because there wasn't one, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's just talking about speed traps. That lady that wanted to get people to slow down in her neighborhood, so she went out there with a hairdryer.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
And stood there on the fence and just aimed at the number of people that slowed down.
Yep. That's funny.
Yeah, well, she just got a hairdryer.
Good for her.
They weren't slowing down because they thought it was a radar gun. They were slowing down to see the crazy on the corner with a hairdryer.
Yeah, right.
But either way, they slowed down.
Yeah, exactly. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hiya, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions, one for me, one for a friend.
Yeah, they all say that.
Yeah. So I mentioned to a friend that I caught the end of a comment about Office. In his case, he's got Office XP 2002.
Yeah.
And he's running it on a Windows 10. Did I hear you that eventually they're going to do something so he can't run it?
I think that one's too old. So in Mac 2011 has an activation license in
2011
Office 2011 for Mac. In 2008 you just had the license you typed in, and it did the license check internally. Starting in 2011 it did an internet license check, and Microsoft has shut down the server for Mac Office 2011 license checking.
Also Windows 2011. I'm pretty sure.
Probably, yeah. So the XP, you're probably safe in the licensing issue, but it probably won't work on a newer OS.
Right. I don't, you know, he's just staying with Windows 10 in his old Office, that's all he needs. And I told him I heard it, and then I couldn't find anything on it, so I thought, well, I know who to ask.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's not going to be he can probably still use it.
I've heard of a lot of people staying with Office 2002 because it doesn't do the internet licensing.
Right, right.
But I'm surprised it runs on Windows 10.
Yeah, me too. Eventually, they'll close that little loophole.
Yeah, there'll probably be some update to Windows 10 that will break that.
But you don't know if they're right now, so
right.
He doesn't have to worry about it.
Right.
Although he may want to start looking into one of the free alternatives, like LibreOffice.
Yeah.
So it's not a big jump.
Or
Google Docs, yeah.
Yeah. So my question is going to be so much harder.
Yeah.
I am on Facebook, and on the left-hand panel, where you have your groups, and you have you can do your messaging and things like that. There is nothing on my left-hand panel.
Yep.
My researcher said, send a note to Facebook. Okay, I've done that, but how do I get my things back in the left panel?
There are a couple of things you can try. One is to delete all your cookies and all the stuff in your browser.
Okay.
But a lot of people are seeing this, and a lot of people are complaining about it. And Facebook is just kind of screwed up. Yesterday when I was on Facebook, I couldn't, you know, you hover over the like button and all the things come up, the laughing and the crying and the angry and all that stuff.
Yep.
They didn't show up for me at all yesterday. Not a once.
So you couldn't laugh or cry?
Couldn't laugh, couldn't cry, couldn't do anything but like. So there was, you know, and I often don't see certain pictures. that are just you know, they're innocuous pictures, but they're just not there. And it's Facebook. They're screwed up. So the suggestion is to clear out your cache.
Okay.
And maybe your cookies, but I'd try the cache first.
Okay.
But beyond that, there's nothing you can do. You just have to wait.
And hope that they get enough complaints.
Yep.
All right. Well,
sorry.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Don't go outside without your jacket.
Yeah, yeah. Summer's almost over.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we were joking about that before the show, that in New York, we just get out our big coats.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And you might want to think about long pants, not shorts anymore.
Yeah, think about it, at least. My wife kept saying the other day, she said, you should get your parka out. I said, it's not cold yet.
Yeah. It's still above zero for long stretches of time.
For long stretches of time. And I'm only going to the car.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not like I'm taking a hike through the woods. I don't do that as much as I used to. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dan from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Dan. What's up?
How's it going?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I want to find out what you guys recommend for robocall blocks on cell phones.
What type of phone do you have?
I have an Apple SE.
Oh, I know Apple's been adding known known spam or suspect spam to their list. So if someone calls you with a known suspect phone number, it will say that.
Do you have to turn that feature on?
I don't think so. I think it's on. It turns itself on. There are a couple of apps. No More Robo is probably one of the most well-known ones. But the problem is they answer the phone for you, decide if it's a robocall or not, and then forward the number to you. And some people don't like the idea of someone else answering their phones. One of the tricks that we like here, Nick, is your tones.
Right.
Do the, what is it, carrier disconnect tone? As your outgoing message, and then the robocallers will hear that tone, know the number's been disconnected, and take you off the list for a while.
Right. There's an outgoing. There's that message tones that you get when you get a phone that's disconnected.
Yep.
That do 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 sound. You can find that all over the internet. We put a listing up a while ago about it, and I put that on the front of my answer message.
Okay.
And so when a robocall comes in and it hears that tone, it doesn't wait for the rest of the message. It just says, this is a number that's no good, and it takes out of circulation for a while.
Okay.
But Apple,
it still rings through, though, right? I mean, you'll hear the call. I'm trying to avoid
right.
calls.
Right. No, I get that. I do get that. I'm just saying that is a last resort.
One of the tricks you can do is you go into the phone settings app and turn on Do Not Disturb, so then it doesn't ring at all. Then you turn on Allow Calls from Contacts. So the only calls you get are from people in your contacts, and it won't let any other call through. It'll go straight to voicemail.
Okay, that's an idea.
Then you have to manage your contacts a little better. But and that's hard to do on like a business phone where you get calls from people you don't know.
Right.
But it is a way to do it. What carrier do you have?
Verizon.
I'm seeing some from AT&T. The Verizon may have many of the cell phone carriers have a service for an extra charge per month. They will block fraudulent calls.
There's also
you'd think they'd do that anyway, but no, they can make money charging you for it.
There's also one called RoboKiller.
Yeah.
And you can add that to your phone. And in the Apple phone itself, under Settings Phone, there's a section called Call Blocking and Identification. And once you've installed RoboKiller, you can add that under call blocking and identification and allow that app to block calls and provide caller ID to you.
Okay.
So that has a free trial, then you have to pay for it.
Right, you do have to pay for that one. But if it's annoying enough for you, that might help. It's $2.99, I suspect, a month, or $30 a year.
Okay.
It's Apple. It's not going to be free. But it says reduces unwanted calls by over 90% within the first 30 days, right? Because it takes a while to learn.
Okay. And so now that's called RoboKiller?
RoboKiller, spam call blocker.
Yeah, you can find both RoboKiller and No More Robo in the iOS App Store.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yep.
Have a good day.
You too. Yeah, I may have mentioned that my and I don't know if it's every version of Android or just the Pixel 3 has that feature, and it does some automatically. I used to get 50 calls a day, and now I get two or three. It's really wonderful. And of course, once you get a spam call, you can block it yourself, but the likelihood that they use the same number twice in a row is very limited.
Yeah, that's the problem now, is that they're generating their own random phone numbers or picking a legitimate number to call you, the spoof calling you from.
Right.
And that we had mentioned during the break, was it January 15th, just during the Mac malware surge there was a surge on fake Apple tech support calls. People were getting called 6, 7, 8 times a day, saying claiming to be from Apple. It got so bad, a couple of the local news stations ran stories on it, and one of the stations even came to our store and interviewed us.
Choked you right up, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Interviewed us on it, and it basically boils down to no company's ever going to call you and tell you there's a problem. How would they know?
Right.
And the usual intent is you call them when you have a problem.
Exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Hi, guys. I have Windows 10, and I'm on the computer now to a site that says how to fix DVD player errors. And it has an advanced system repair for Windows 10, and it's highly recommended to download and install advanced system repair.
Yeah, it's fake. Well, fake may be too strong a word. It's crap. Yeah, they want your money, and they won't do very much. The legitimate programs we have recommended, Malwarebytes, Super Anti-Spyware, they are known good programs. They have free versions, and commercial versions if you want more features. But generally speaking, a lot of those, especially if they say it's highly recommended, well, of course we want to steal your money. That's one of the red flags about something not being completely, above board.
Okay. That's good enough, guys.
Yep.
There you go. Thanks, Bob.
They advertise so much, all of these fake cleaning programs, and that they get their name out. So you know, when you have a problem, I remember I saw a bunch of ads for that advanced cleaner. I'm going to try that.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
And they often give you dire warnings about all these huge problems you have, and if you only give us $40 more, we'll fix that.
What I love is there is a repair program which will remain nameless that actually has TV ads.
Yeah.
And they have recently replaced the man with the Russian accent with someone with an American accent.
Gee, I wonder why.
Exactly. It just, you know, because I used to look at that and I think, who is fooled by this? What the hell? And then now it's a couple of clean-cut young kids with middle America accents, and the unshaven guy with the Russian accent is gone. And I thought, well, at least somebody wised them up about something.
Bit, yeah. It's like I was born at night, just not last night.
Exactly.
We get a lot of complaints isn't quite the right word. People come into the store and are mad that we don't do free estimates. Well, that's how we make our money, is doing service. But you see on TV all the time, these TV commercials, they advertise free estimates.
Sure.
I'll give you a free estimate. You've got a virus.
Yeah.
$100
$100
There you go. How's that for your free estimate?
There's your free estimate.
which is pretty much all they're doing.
Yeah. Right. And then they run the Security Tango.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people have said to me, not to your store, but to other places, they said, I took my thing there and they just basically ran the Security Tango. I could have done that.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Yes,
you could.
That's why we've been recommending it for how long?
Exactly.
What I get a little annoyed about is I leave the programs on the computer so they can run them.
Right.
And they come back in a month infected again. They never ran them.
Right.
So it's that catch-22. Okay, now they can pay us again, but
right.
I left the program there.
They let them pay us again.
Yeah, they could have done it themselves.
Right. Well, and that, it's a very weird thing. People don't take as good care of their computers as they do of their cars.
Yeah.
I mean, even you know, if your car suddenly seizes up on the expressway and you live through it, and you take it to the garage and they said, well, you never changed your oil.
Well, I don't know you're supposed to change the oil.
Well, no. Most people will say, that's on me. Right?
Yeah.
But if you say to them, you never ran an antivirus program, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to run it. Yeah, you did. We told you about it. You hear it on our show every week. Everybody tells you this. You see ads. Run an antivirus program. Run an anti-malware program. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. Hi, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I'd like to follow up on the comments that you were making earlier about ways to stop spam and robocalls and things like that.
Right.
I use Frontier for my phone service, and I called them a while ago and asked them for help with this because I was getting a lot of these spam calls and marketing type calls.
Right.
And they offered absolutely no help whatsoever. When I mentioned to them No Robo, the application that can stop those kinds of some of those calls, they said it's not offered on their service. Do you know about what is available to stop those kinds of calls on a Frontier yet, online? The landline.
Well, Novo Robo is free on VoIP landlines. But Frontier is POTS, plain old telephone system.
Right,
right.
And so the way that Nomo Robo works is by answering your phone instead of you and then forwarding it to you when it's a legitimate call.
Okay.
So you could technically do that with a call forwarding service. So your calls, no, you couldn't, because then when they try to call you back the first time, it forwards to them again.
Right.
And so that's probably why. Someone else needs to answer your phone. So that they can see if the caller is fake or not, and then forward it on to you if it's a real caller.
So it's strictly for cell phone type usage.
Well, or VoIP phones, like those phones where you get an internet phone.
Okay, a VoIP.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So for Time Warner Spectrum phones are VoIP, so it would be free for that.
Yeah.
But since Frontier still uses the plain old telephone system now, and what most of them are doing now, and especially the Nomo Robo and Robo Killer that run on your cell phones, they use a lot of the call ID to identify known spam calls.
Right.
So there should be nothing theoretically stopping a plain old telephone system from doing that. And I'm surprised they don't even offer it as a service at an extra charge.
Right.
Yeah. But many of the, I do have caller ID, but very often the numbers that show up are not valid phone numbers. They look like local phone numbers,
yeah.
But in fact they're from who knows where.
Yep, and the bad guys have started doing that now.
That's why what I said was, what I do is if I do not recognize the number, right, if it doesn't, I've got a million people in my caller ID, in my contacts list. And if it doesn't show up with a name, I let it go to voicemail. And then if it turns out to be a legit number, I add it to my contacts.
Oh, yeah.
So you get it the first time, and so from then on, every time a call comes in that doesn't have a name attached to it,
sure,
I just let it go to voicemail.
Yeah, I do the same. The problem is I'm getting literally 15 to 20 of those calls a day. So.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Join the rest of us.
Yep.
Makes you want to turn your ringer off, so then you just go back and listen to your voicemail when you get a chance.
Right. Yeah.
Well, occasionally I do have real calls that are coming through that I want to answer.
Yeah.
No, of course.
So what you can do on the landline is use what's called the special information tones,
right,
to put on the call blocked signal or not call blocked, no circuit signal. So then the robocallers will take you off the list, and your actual callers just have to listen to a tone for a minute.
But I can't understand. We're in the 21st century now. You mean to tell me that technology is not available even to the landline phone company
technology is available.
And the bad guys are paying for phone service, so the phone company doesn't want to stop them because they're getting paid at the other end.
Right. It all comes down to who pays who. If you have a cell phone and you are willing to put something like No More Robo on it and pay them $30 a year, they will help you because you're paying them. If you are the phone company and somebody pays you to be able to make calls, they will be able to make calls.
You know, we have something called the FCC. Isn't it their job to enforce these things?
You can report.
That's a lovely thought.
Right, and you can report it to the FCC, but since the bad guys are spoofing call IDs, which itself is illegal, they can't track them down.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, though, it's like one hand clapping. They can't do much because it is still, just like the World Wide Web. You know, these spoofers and everything else, they're not here locally in the U.S. Heck, they could be halfway around the world.
We do have it. I'm an engineer. I'm pretty familiar with some of the technologies. We do have the technology to handle these things.
We have the technology. Some companies don't have the will.
But we do have the law. That's the problem. We do have laws in this country.
Right.
We do.
And the bad guys are breaking the law, and if you can catch them, you can arrest them.
Right.
That's right. The problem is because they're spoofing a number and because they're overseas.
Or even when they're not. There was that guy in Miami was doing 1 million calls a day.
Right. They eventually got him.
They eventually got him, and then someone else took over.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
Well, for some of us, the telephone system is simply becoming unusable.
And that's why so many people are dropping their landlines and going to cell phones where it's easier. Like I said, my call, I used to get calls constantly. And I mean, truly, literally, one after the other, bang, 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 bang. Yeah. Now I get maybe 3-4 a day because I'm using a Google phone and I have the option in the phone itself for Google to block known spammers. But that's why people are dropping landlines. One of the reasons, there are more programs and features on cell phones to block telemarketers.
And Frontier does have a list on what you can do. Put your name on the no call registry.
That doesn't work. But
or,
you can do it.
Or block phone numbers.
Right. We got to take a break. Sorry, right. Tom. Thanks for calling. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina, Francesco, and you, 29 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and you can call us 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free. 1-800-790-0415. Those numbers are also on our website, along with our text messaging number, which is 585-209-9010-9010. Ooh. Get it?
Ooh.
And if you're the 90th caller, you can ask us a question.
Or the 89th or the 88th, or, caller take one down, pass it around. Apple has hired Soon-Ho An, a former Samsung executive who worked primarily on lithium-ion batteries and other battery-related technologies. An joined Apple in December after a 4-year stint at Samsung. He ran Samsung SDI, which, among other things, supplied Apple with device batteries a few years ago. Also, Apple is in talks to buy cobalt directly from miners. Cobalt is needed to make these kinds of batteries. Both revelations suggest that Apple may be looking to make its own batteries rather than source them from other companies. If there's one guiding product design and business philosophy at Apple, it's that minimizing the number of components and features that are dependent on third parties and other companies leads to a win-win, better products and user experiences for customers, and more profit for the company. We all know that lithium-ion batteries are like a ball and chain in the modern smartphone. The basic technology has remained unchanged for decades, and the rate of improvement has been slow compared to other components. It was throttling and battery issues that led to Apple's battery repair program in 2018, and that program may have been a major factor in Apple's recent disappointing iPhone sales. Apple has a lot of good reasons to zero in on improving and controlling the batteries in its devices, though it remains to be seen what, if any, if anything, the company can do to substantially improve this stagnant technology. We've seen previous reports that Apple is working on in-house CPUs to replace Intel's chips and some or all of the Mac product line. We also heard that Apple is looking to make its own micro-LED displays to reduce reliance on Samsung and other suppliers for its current LCD and OLED panels. Apple has worked with its suppliers to come up with innovative battery solutions before, for example, the space-saving L-shaped battery in the iPhone X and XS. But by bringing everything in-house, the company can gain even more control over how its products are designed and built. Do you care who makes your batteries? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
There's been some interesting speculation about Apple's, you know, lower performance, that because the phones are so good, and especially now you can put a battery in it and rejuvenate it for another year or two, new phone sales aren't as high as they could be because people are keeping their phones longer.
Right.
Especially now that the way the contracts have changed, where you think you're getting a free phone with contract, right, you're now paying the $1,000 for the phone, but they break it up over 24-month payments.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the same as getting a phone for free with a contract over 24 months.
And, and the thing that is, though, is the phones, you know, there's only so many features a phone can do.
They're trying to figure out what the new thing is going to be. So a lot of the phones have dual rear cameras. So now the latest rumors is there's going to be three rear cameras.
Somebody has six.
Yeah.
It's just, it's ridiculous. You know, there comes a point where you're buying new to buy new. That's why there were fins on cars.
And you've hit the top end.
Right. My phone does everything I need it to do and more.
Yeah.
It takes astonishingly good pictures.
Oh, unbelievable.
And it's a three-year-old phone.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care that it's a three-year-old phone. As long as it keeps doing what I need it to do when I need it to do it, I don't really care if it's not the latest and greatest and sexiest.
Yeah, it still works. Mine's same as yours. And it works great, you know, and I'm not paying for it. It's paid for.
Right. when you pay off your phone, your phone bill goes down because now you're just paying for service.
Yeah.
It used to be when you paid off your phone, you kept paying off your phone.
That's right.
Yeah, you get another one, trade it in.
Well, no, even if you didn't replace your phone, you still paid the same amount.
Yes, you did.
For your last phone, even though you'd already paid it off.
Yep.
Right. Now they don't do that, but they also... Also, a lot of people now replace their phone every year because it's essentially free. Well, what you mean by that is you just don't see the pain you're going through with that extra charge on your phone.
And your loan goes from 2 years. You worked through a year, so now you get another 2 year loan. So you just keep pushing your loan out a year in the future.
Well, that's the thing, and they mask it as free upgrades. So when you're going, you're getting in. Well, we'll take you up to the next model. You're entitled to it. They don't tell you, you're entitled to it, and you're still going to keep paying that monthly fee.
You're entitled to it because you're paying for it.
Yeah, you're paying that monthly fee still for that brand new phone. And, it might cost you even a few bucks more because it is a newer phone, and they can do that.
That's right.
And they're,
but when you look at the price of a phone, you think that phone was $1,000. That's a ridiculous amount of money to pay for a phone.
Yeah.
However, $49 a month is not a ridiculous amount of money to pay for a phone. It turns out to be the same amount of money.
Yeah.
Over the 2 years.
Over the 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the pain is less because you pay it monthly instead of all at once.
Yep.
And a lot of people and a lot of companies do the same thing. You know, they being able to amortize a cost, and that's what you're doing. You're amortizing the cost over a significant period is easier to manage. Mm-hmm. So if I know that it's going to cost me $40 a month for 2 years, then that's easier for me to manage in my budget than finding $1,000.
Oh, heck yeah.
Right? And I get that. I do get that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means that you're still paying for it. Forget the word free. That's a lie.
Yep. Nothing is free. You're paying for it everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
Somewhere.
There ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
If you made a product, somewhere. Would you want to give it away for free?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But so, yeah, you want to be very careful of that. And certainly, I didn't say it was a bad business decision or a bad financial decision to pay it over time. Just stop pretending it's free. Because it ain't.
You're only fooling yourself.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But, you know, and Apple is doing what they can to reduce their cost. Notice they said their cost, yeah. Not your cost. But if they can make the screens and they can make the batteries and they can make the chips, then they save money.
And then maybe they won't raise prices next year.
Maybe.
But well, that's just like Windows. They're trying to come out with their brand of phone again with the Windows 10 operating system and that
right.
on it. And it's like, really? What they need is another phone?
Right, yeah. Right. But... well, there are indications that that Microsoft may have stopped doing phones. So,
like everything else, they try it and then abandon it.
Right, and that's
they still have phones on their website.
Yeah, no. But like I said,
well, Microsoft doesn't make phones, but they bought who was it? Someone that did make phones. So now the Lumia series is being sold on Microsoft's website.
Right. They're selling other people's phones. But, you know, they acquired Nokia.
That's who it was. Or Nokia, depending on
your... Or Nokia. I don't care what you call it, because they've reminded Windows 10 mobile users support ends this year and have actually said they should move to an iOS or Android device.
Interesting.
Microsoft said that to people who own... Windows phones, the Nokia.
Not even
Leviosa.
Not even going to a Microsoft Lumia phone.
Right, right. Or Lumia.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they have said that they are doing it. They told Windows 10 mobile customers go for an Android or iOS smartphone. As of December 10th, 2019, Windows 10 mobile users are no longer eligible to receive new security updates, non-security hot fixes, free assisted support options, or online technical content updates from Microsoft for free. Now, that doesn't mean that you still can't pay for it for another year or two, but it won't be. You won't get those free updates anymore. Anymore.
And there's rumors that there's a foldable Surface phone coming. Everyone has announced foldable. Jeez, I can't talk now either.
Yeah,
foldable. A phone you fold in half.
Yeah, there you go.
A phone you fold
in
half.
Some other F word. I don't know what he's talking about, I'm sure.
So everyone is talking about foldable phones and... Microsoft, the rumors, Microsoft is going to work one, but it's going to be under the Surface brand.
Right. And that's a very different phone from the Windows phones. But we'll see.
Probably run Android.
Right. Well, no, it's a Surface phone.
It'll run Windows, yeah. So Microsoft selling Windows or selling Android phones, switching the Edge.
Recommending Android phones.
Switching their Edge browser to Chromium. That Satya Nadella is really a progressive kind of guy.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. Well, they've given up on things that they do least well.
Yeah.
But so we'll see what happens in the long run with that. And yeah, that's the other thing. We talked about that, I think, last week, is Microsoft Edge is going to become a Chromium, like the Google Chrome product. To the phones, our next caller is Bill from Irondequoit, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up?
Hey, I just... what is the best way to back up your computer? Let's say a Windows computer.
Okay, so Let me ask you this. What version of Windows are you running?
Seven.
Okay. There are a couple of things you can do. Do you have an external hard drive?
Yes.
Okay. Then there are programs. If you want to back up everything, including the operating system, there's a free program called Clonezilla.
Clonezilla, okay.
And that will allow you to back up to a DVD or whatever. No. Right?
Whatever fits. And that's why we say hard drive, because usually you've got too much data to fit on DVDs
right.
anymore. So
right.
cloning to a hard drive is usually the easiest way.
Right. And yep. and if you were listening earlier, our first caller, Al, had an interesting issue where that sort of full hard drive situation didn't work for him. But in general, if you have a full hard drive backup, then you can restore that full hard drive, but and you then don't have to put in new your codes again for any software that you paid for, et cetera, et cetera. The issue with full drive backup is that if you had something insidious in your system that was lurking, it's still there and still lurking.
Got it. Yeah.
The other thing you can do is backup only your data.
Okay.
And that it can be done in any one of a dozen.
Dozen
programs.
We have talked about Cobian backup in
yeah.
the past.
Right,
now,
Cobian is one.
Windows 7 has a backup program built in. That works pretty good, but the restore program doesn't
yeah.
work
yeah,
very well.
I wouldn't use it.
Doesn't work great at all.
Yeah.
And what was the name of the program you mentioned?
The Cobian, Cobian, is
okay.
is one of them. There's a program called Acronis True Image that's also good. There's a bunch of them that are out there. You can also get certain programs that let you back up your data to a network drive, either on your local network or out on the internet somewhere.
And that can be handy if you have multiple computers, so then they can all back up to that one network drive.
Right.
Right.
But there are lots that do it. We've got some lists on our site, and Cobian is on that list.
And many times when you buy a backup drive, especially from the major companies like Seagate and Western Digital, they will mm-hmm. often come with backup software built in.
Oh, okay.
So it can back up your computer to another drive. And
right.
And on the Security Tango, by the way, at securitytango.com, under Tango Links and the menu choice of Tango Links is a list of a bunch of Windows backup programs for
oh, okay.
Windows, Macintosh, Linux, and Android. Why don't I have any for iOS? Isn't there one?
The built-in.
It's built-in, that's why.
Yeah.
If you want to take a list, there's seven of them in the Windows category, four in the Mac category, five in Linux, and five in Android.
You can add Super Duper to the Mac category.
Since
Carbon Copy Cloner went commercial, which we don't begrudge him,
right.
Super Duper is free.
All right, send me something.
Yeah, and then there's two sort of backup issues. If you accidentally lose a file, it's good to have a second copy to
yeah.
recover it from. If your computer dies, it's good to have a second copy to recover it from. And so having a backup drive sitting next to your computer, plugged into your computer, is great. The other right. half is fire, flood, theft, you know, catastrophic failure. And for that, you need an off-site backup. So some mm-hmm. people will have two backup drives, and one they carry off-site, you know, safe deposit box or detached.
Take it to work.
Or you yeah. can use an internet backup service like Carbonite or CrashPlan or Backblaze, one of the other internet backup services.
For a nominal fee, they do it for the...
Right, they have a backup. Right. Backs up over the internet, which is slow, so your first backup could take...
Depending on how fast your
yeah.
connection
Start it
is.
At night and go to sleep and wake up.
We've had a couple of people who've gotten estimates of weeks to upload a terabyte of data because they have lots and lots of data.
Right.
So that's something
that's
to think of, too.
But that's just that first backup. After that, it's only the changed or new files that back up.
And the other thing, though, is, and we've been, you know, pushing it for a long time, is, you know, like your photos. Put those up on Google Photo. It's free.
Right.
Right.
You know, they're there forever, and no matter if you're at home or, you know, halfway around the world, you could log into your Google account and pull up all those photos.
Right.
The same with Google Docs. And they're backed up all the time.
Right. And if you want something like Carbonite, that's $6 a month, which is pretty dang cheap insurance.
And most of them have discounts if you pay for a year in advance.
Well, the thing of it is you got to ask, how important is your data to you, and how much are you willing to pay? You know, if that all of a sudden that hard drive crashed and you had to send it in to get it retrieved, you're talking quite a few bucks.
Yeah, it could be thousands of dollars for forensic recovery.
Yeah. There's stuff that you can't live without.
Yeah.
Then you better be doing the backups.
And don't forget your phones. So many people are taking pictures on their phones and then never syncing it to the computer, never syncing it to Google. And then you drop your phone in the toilet and all those pictures are gone.
Right. One of the things you can do with an Android phone is automatically sync it to Google Photos.
Same thing with the iPhone.
And the same thing with the iPhone. Yep. And so if you turn those on, for example, when I take a picture, I know within a minute or two, it's automatically gone back and gotten backed up. So, you're using a little of your data, but so what? That picture, you know, it depends on the picture, of course. If I'm just taking some shot, who cares? But when it's my family or whatever, then I want that picture backed up and safe.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much for your help.
Thank you.
Yep. And it's good you're thinking about it. A lot of people don't think about it until after the crash.
Right.
Although we had a customer last month that was so frustrating at our end. Their hard drive crashed. We did a recovery. We got most of it back. We told them to buy a backup drive. They never bought a backup drive. A couple of weeks later, they lost a bunch of files again.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because you got a backup drive. No, I never got around to it. Now you get to pay for recovery again.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, what can you say at that point? You know, they had the opportunity. You gave them the chance, and they didn't do it.
Yep. And we hear.
Listen, everybody listening to this show right now, back up today, right now, while you're sitting in front of your computer or in your home. If you're in your car, write a note on the back of your hand when you get home. Back up your machine. All right. That music tells me that we're done for another week. You have wasted 2 hours of your life with this nonsense. Don't worry about it, though. You'll get another chance to do it again next week. In the meantime, back up your machine while you're listening to the best German music you'll hear all week. That's right. George is coming in to play that. Michael will be here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Holy cow, I must be talking about sound bites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. Be kind to each other, and we will see you in just 166 hours.